the children are dismissed for children's church. In the coin toss, I got the short end and get to preach on tithing. I imagine you looked at that scripture and said, where on earth did Don come up with that? But it's in our lesson this morning. Interestingly enough, if you follow the daily bread, Charlene and I have this little game we do, and so she was reading along daily bread, and she came across that passage, and I snickered. And as she read down through it, I snickered some more. That was Friday's reading. Because I try to guess where in the Bible the passage comes from. She alleviates that. And it just, you know, it's like God works. To put the very scripture in the Friday devotional that I had already been working on all week as part of this morning. Let us start our time by giving this to the Lord in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, merciful Almighty God, we thank You. We thank You that You're so generous. You're generous with Your Spirit and willing to lead at times like these. We pray, Heavenly Father, that You would lead the words spoken here. Disregard my notes, Lord. It's all Yours. And lead us, Lord, through Scripture, that we might see You more clearly and see what You're calling us to be as Your people, called by Your name in these days. That there would be benefits to our own lives, but also to those of our family. That it would change us. And not only us, Lord, but the whole community in which we live. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I imagine that from the title, a preacher talking about investments probably sounds a little foreign. But in actuality, if we think about it in every other form, we basically, as human beings, invest in those places that we see are important. We invest in those places that we see are important. Now, maybe you have a money market or a Roth IRA. Maybe you're looking that retirement's important, and you're setting aside a certain portion of your entire income into retirement because you think you maybe you'll get a chance to do that someday. And of course, we all give in to Social Security and wish they'd stop calling it an entitlement. We have ways that we set aside money into those things we deem important. And when I consider all of Scripture, and as you have read through the Bible, and I hope you take the challenge of going with us this coming year and reading the Bible very intentionally, in the next 3 years, not only once a year, but maybe more than once a year, walking with us through the Scripture. The Sunday school classes will be going through Scripture in the next 3 years, encompassing the entire Bible. But I hope you begin to realize this idea of giving is based in Almighty God Himself. There is absolutely no way we can outgive God. In fact, it's in our giving that we begin to mirror a little bit of Him. You see, God doesn't need our money. I hope that's not a surprise to you. But if you look around us, all of creation is God's. It's at His disposal. It's at His command. Even the rain is guided by Almighty God. God doesn't need our money, but He's teaching us to be as generous as He is. In the old Mennonite church, the old ways, when I was starting as a pastor, out of seminary we were told that the guidelines didn't include a tithe because our wages had already been docked, if you would, that 10%. And so we as pastors, young pastors, weren't encouraged to give to our churches. But we were encouraged to give 10% more time than anybody else. And I didn't really grasp what had been taken from me until I came here to Lower Deer Creek. And back in the 2005, 2006, we started studying stewardship and things of that nature. And I realized that I had been robbed of the ability to give. It changed my leading, my leadership, because that had been taken from me. So over these years, we have nudged ourselves into tithing, the whole tithe, into the church, the local church. And if we need to give somebody else, that's above that. And it changes our spirit to give sacrificially to what God is calling the local body to do. It's a discipline, a spiritual discipline. Because in one way or another, that discipline says that what's going on in the local church, what's going on in the local body that I assimilate with, that I speak into and speaks into me, I'm investing. I'm investing a small part. Not nearly as much as God is, but I'm investing. No strings attached, and I like that piece, that I can put my check into the pot, and the church council says what's going to be important. We put together a budget every year. We vote on it as a body of Christ, and we say, this is what we're going to do together, and we give towards what we're going to do together. To me, that's important. Because if I held on to that check and said, well, if they do it the way I want to do it, then it's all right. See, I like to look back at Genesis chapter 14, 18 through 20, which is one of the very first illustrations we have in the Bible of the tithe. And look at old Abraham. Old Abraham has gone through a situation and he's got cash on hand. And he goes to Melchizedek. And he gives 10% of everything he's got to Melchizedek because he was the priest. I mean, it's not like they had a church like we have today. It's not like they had denominations. It's not like they had any of that. But Abraham's heart wanted to reflect the generosity of God. And he gave it to Melchizedek. That's in Genesis chapter 14, 18 through 20. So the first thing I want you to remember this morning, if you forget anything else, is God doesn't need our money, but He allows us to give. He wants us to feel like He does. Willing to give with no strings attached. He gave you life without saying you had to follow Him, but He gives you the freedom to follow. The second piece is that I would encourage us to follow the example of our leaders. Here is David in this passage from 1 Chronicles 29. Here's David. He has worked all of his life because the temple is so important to him. And he gathered all these materials around. He wanted so to see that temple raise high in his city. He wanted a special place for God that was as palatial as his own palace. He wanted a spot for God. And God said, dude, there's blood on your hands. You're not going to get to do it. Can you imagine what that would do to his giving? But it didn't. Instead, he said, well, Solomon is going to raise this temple up from the ground, and he's going to do it. He's young and inexperienced. Elders, leaders, come alongside him. I've gathered all this stuff around. Would you gather around him as well? And all the leaders of God's people came together and brought from their reserves, from their gold, from their precious gems for the building of the temple. You know, when I was farming, it really wasn't. Can you call it farming? Just custom hay baling? I don't know. There's a piece of me that doesn't even want to call it farming, but it was about as much farming as I've done. I had one rule with my hired men. I had 5 hired men. And the rule was, I don't need you to work harder than me, but you need to work as hard as I do. And I practiced, you know, there was 5 of us, so we would do a rotation. I wasn't always sitting on the tractor. I rotated with the rest of the guys. I bucked bales. I went to the barn. I stacked bales. I did everything they did. All 5 of us went in rotation from the barn to the field, from the barn to the field. Tractor. I did not expect anyone on my crew to do anything I was not willing to do, even though they got paid better than I did sometimes. And if they didn't, I let them go. That's the hard part. Leadership. That's part of leadership. Not being afraid to do the hard thing that needs to be done. And we don't expect anyone at Lower Deer Creek to do anything more than we do as leadership. But perhaps the last thing I'd like to talk about is the most important. I feel it is an honor to give into what God is doing. I see God active and working in this church, in this community, through this church. And really, when we get down to it, money's the easy part. I mean, think about it. Write out a check, stick it in the dish, in the offering plate. Jesus said that in Matthew 6, 19 through 21, this is the way Jesus put it, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. One of the things I think Jesus is saying in the midst of this is our investment in the kingdom, the money's the easy part. God's asking us to do those things that He would do, to be His arms, legs, hands, and feet in the kingdom today. That the giving of our time and talent is just as important as the giving of our tithe. We're really not going to be the church that Christ desires us to be, and we are preparing as the body of Christ to be His bride. Did you know that? We're getting spiffed up for the wedding. We are the bride of Christ in Scripture. We're not going to be that bride unless we are willing to invest in our relationship to Him. And I believe that's individually, as brothers and sisters, investing in each other, but also investing in our relationship with Jesus. So this morning I'm asking you to think about your investment. Why are you here this morning? Well, I know why you guys are here. Your folks drug you, right? Yeah. But why are you here this morning? Why are you identifying with this body? Why are you seeking to be part of what we do in prayer and raising each other up? What is it? If we are here more for what we want than for what we can bring, I'd invite you to check your investment. Because if you're here for what you can get, rather than what you can bring, you're actually here drawing from the investment of others. That's not being condemning. I'm just saying, folks, let's check our investments. Some of us can bring wads of cash into the kingdom. That's great. That's wonderful. Some of us bring sweat equity, like all those who stood this morning, both those who have served this last year, those who are serving this coming year. We do for the kingdom because that's what we are given the ability to do. But I think about that church in Acts chapter 2, and often we as Christians go back to that wonderful church in Acts, both chapter 2, 3, and 4. Those are wonderful pictures of the church. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42, it says this, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and the many wonders and miraculous signs that were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added daily to those who were being saved." There was an exciting thing going on. God was doing something through this gathered group of people. And I believe in that church today. And sometimes I think we're right close to being there. I believe as the church gets back to that Acts chapter 2 and chapter 4, we will begin to transform the lives of people around us. So if you're thinking that someone else will teach, or someone else will serve, or someone else will work to maintain the building, then I ask you to think this morning about measuring your investment. Your investment in the kingdom of God. And I know it's really easy to say, well, you know, the lights are on. Things are getting done. The church doesn't really need me. But the reality is we're better together than we would be apart. Do not minimize your investment in what's going on here at Lower Deer Creek. In the last 2 years, we have trimmed the budget to reflect the giving of the congregation. And I got in a whole bunch of trouble when I said, well, I guess nobody here makes over $53,000. When I said that, I really got in trouble. But that's the way we're giving. Last Sunday's offering and consideration, not knowing what's in the offering this week, right now today in the bank, we're $14,835 short of our budget. And we trimmed for 2 years. That means we've cut back from what we as leadership feel that we're called to invest in these days and times. And we're sort of moving out on faith. We heard at the town meeting that we should just get out there and ask for what we think we need. That's scary. That means that from the point we are right now, there's going to be $28,000 difference next year. And I don't know what to think about it. Even though I drill the stall, I get to talk about money. Brothers and sisters, Where's the heart of God among us? I mean, if we're to be the people who reflect God's heart in this community, do we reflect it from this place? Do we invest here? In other words, there are lots of places where we can put money. And God always allows us to use 80 to 90% of our money for ourselves. He's not saying you've got to do this and you've got to do that. He's just saying, hey, this much. I'd like to see if your heart reflects this much for my kingdom. ¥80 to 90% you can keep in your pocket. Is that all right? In Romans, Paul speaks like this. In chapter 12, beginning in verse 4. Each of us, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to each other. We all have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him do so in a proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. For our love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. To me, that's the glue of the body of Christ, is the one another. In the midst of, I didn't really want to preach this sermon. And I know there's a lot of things going through your minds, and it's not been as fun a sermon as some of them, and I didn't have near as much good illustrations, and I deleted the jokes. Because they are, I realize that as you sat in the pew this morning and as you've heard the message, it's probably added one more thing to the list of things that are going through your lives. Realizing the moms that are working with their kids, the school just started, the fall is coming up, there's corn out there that looks like it wants to be harvested in a few weeks. In the midst of all that's going on for you this morning, I'd like to ask you, which part of it is for Jesus? And that brought the song to mind. It's in their Mennonite hymnal, the red one. 229. Because I think of this song coming out of the midst of all of our turmoil, all the things going on in our lives. Jesus calls us over tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day, His sweet voice soundeth, Jesus saying, Christian, hey, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, Menards, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, Still he calls us in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies. Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience. Serve and love thee best of all. Let us pray and then we'll stand and sing together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the call you've put on our life and forgive us, Lord, when we become distracted by everything else. Help us, Lord, in these days to follow thee so intently that it can be seen by others and that it can give us peace in troubled times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus calls us.